What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast, episode 141. This episode, of course, is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, helps the podcast keep on going. With me, of course, is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Not much, Bob. How you been? It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while. We were off for 2 weeks. You went on vacation, which must have been nice.
Yeah. I had to take a little impromptu trip down to Florida. Just need a little time off.
Well, there you go. I hope you had some nice R&R. And definitely. Yeah, last week was I would just call it a shit show. that's why there was no podcast last week. We actually moved the entire website to a new host. It's something that I kind of put off doing for a while, and it just needed done. I'm sure you guys noticed that the website was just loading slow, and then for us on the back end, like doing articles and stuff, it was pretty bad. Both Derek and I experienced that, and we just weren't happy with our current host, so we moved everything over, and it took about 3 days to actually move everything. I don't know if you guys realize how big the site is and how much content we have, but it's pretty big, so it took a while, and then we had to, you know, just switch everything and emails and all that kind of stuff. So there was no news last week, so this podcast will be a little short just because we have only news from today and Monday. Yeah. But we're happy that the site loads fast. Hopefully it loads fast for you guys. You guys can give us feedback on that. If it does load fast for you guys or slow, just definitely let us know. But hopefully going forward, things will be nice and fast, and you won't have to be waiting around for pages to load, which people did complain about. So hopefully we rectified that for you guys. So I guess we'll just jump into reviews, and we have two products that we had been talking about for a while because we're 2 weeks behind, basically. So we'll start out with the Asa Hurricane RGB fan. So this is another RGB fan kit, and this one is from Asa. And this one's a little interesting because we've seen different types of RGB fan designs, and with this one, the RGB illumination illuminates the around the fan. It doesn't illuminate from the center. It doesn't illuminate the blades of the fan. It illuminates the frame almost, giving this cool circle illumination, which some people really like. Some people aren't going to like it. But with this, you have four RGB LEDs, one in each corner of the fan. It gives you that good illumination. It's actually pretty bright. I was actually surprised. We have a comparison. If you go to page 4 of the review and go to the bottom, you can see a comparison against some of the other fans, and the illumination itself is actually really bright. Now, what Asa has done with this is, I was trying to do some research on it, but I couldn't find out who actually makes this controller that they use, this RGB controller, because it's not made by them. I know that. They use this Lumi RGB controller. What the Lumi RGB controller allows you to do is to connect up to 6 4-pin RGB headers and control each fan individually from your mobile device, which I love.
That's convenient.
I have like RGB remotes sitting here, like right beside me, for different devices, and they're just so annoying. One thing you're always going to have with you is your mobile phone, and we've seen controllers like, you know, like the little RF controllers that I have here, so you have to have like an RF receiver somewhere kind of sticking out of your case, which doesn't look nice. Or we've seen physical controllers that you either have to open up your case or you have to mount it outside, and it's just not fun, and you don't want to have to like go under your desk to change your RGBs. Like, you just don't want to have to do it. So this solution I love. It's a mobile app. It works amazing. Like, this, the mobile app is great. Super easy to use. It allows you to control the fans, their speeds. So one thing that I didn't like about it is that you can't control the speed individually for each fan. It's all in one for some reason. But you can control the speed of the fan and, of course, your RGB lights. With the RGB lights, you can control each fan individually, which is nice. So you can select the fan and change the color as you wish using a color wheel at the bottom. We have pictures of the screenshots of the app there. It also has a rainbow mode that basically is a breathing mode with switch colors, and it just has a normal breathing mode. So while I love the app and I love the idea of having a mobile app for RGB fans, this app is a little limited in what it can do. You can change the colors, but there's only a color wheel, and that kind of limits you because, you know, you can move your finger around, but you can't, like, input a color code. Mm. So if you want all the fans exactly the same color, you can kind of just, like, you have to just kind of guess.
Yeah.
Where it goes. Color. Yeah, so that's one thing. I wish they would have had something along that line that you can put in a color code. Secondly, there's really no effects. You get a rainbow. The rainbow effect is a breathing color change effect, and you just get a breathing effect. So with other fan kits, we've seen a ton of different effects added in. I don't know if this is a limitation of the hardware or the app itself. Hopefully it's the app itself, and they can update the app and give you more effects down the line.
Yeah, is there no desktop app?
There is no desktop app.
See, I'd like to see a desktop app as well. Mobile is great, here. But it seems like you'd build a more feature-filled desktop app to go along with it.
Yeah, I think this Lumi controller is made by a third party because the app itself is just called Lumi. It's not like it's not made by Asa or anything like that. And I don't believe there's no desktop app for this. There is a USB connection on it to connect to a motherboard header, but it doesn't really do anything because there's no software.
Right.
So
it won't work with any other software.
So the fans themselves will. So each fan does have an RGB, a 4-pin RGB header.
Okay.
So you can daisy chain those and connect that to your motherboard.
Sure.
If you want. And they actually sell a version without the Lumi controller that you can just do that with if that's your plan.
Okay.
So it saves you some costs there too. But the Lumi controller, of course, is made for the mobile app. It's made to control these outside of your case and outside of your computer even. You can be sitting on the couch and change the colors.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like these. I think that if you're looking for this type of design, like this circular illuminated circle type thing, these are a good fan. We compare them to some of the other ones. You know, you're not getting any illumination on the fan blades themselves. So again, if you're looking for this design, it's a good design. They're built really well. The price is, I believe, $69.99 for the kit with a Lumi controller, which I guess that makes sense because you are getting the mobile app. I think that's something we haven't really seen in other, you know, RGB fans yet. We're not seeing it. And it's really well built. Like, the mobile app works. It's not, like, something that's really clunky.
Yeah, so, it just doesn't have a huge number of features.
Yeah, so if they update the features somehow, and again, that might be a limitation of the hardware, I'm not sure. But if they were able to add some more effects and be able to change the speed of the fan, speed of the fans per fan, that would be nice as well. But these are good fans. These are pretty decent fans. It's all, you know, when it comes to RGB fans, it's all in what you're really looking for, the feature set that you are looking for when it comes to RGB fans. But this is a good kit, and it's super easy to set up. The Lumi controller, you basically just plug it in, and then you download the app, and it finds it. I believe it's Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's, you know, the only one other thing I didn't like, and this is has to do with the app, is that you cannot change the brightness or turn these off.
Yeah, that seems like kind of a missed feature. Like a really simple thing that you would think would be obvious.
Yeah, you would think that you would just be able to turn these off, but you can't. So there's no brightness setting or anything like that either. So
I'm a little surprised that they didn't go with a clear blade so that they could pick up some of the light
in the blades. Yeah,
it's a unique look, but it's also it's a lot of blank space.
Yeah, it's a lot of blank space and it is limited. But if you're looking for that look, I think it's a good choice.
True.
I would like to see either, you know, their next... This is their first RGB fan. I would like to see the next version. One, more than four RGB LEDs. Maybe some type of clear blade with RGBs in the middle. If they are going to go with the Lumi controller again or something like that, obviously try to work with that company who makes the controller to have a bigger feature set within the app too.
Right.
But for right now, I think this is one of the only fans that you can control. I know there's other third parties that are using the Lumi controller too, but I think it's just as limited as these. But it's one of the only ones, you know, if you compare like the Corsair fans or something like that, one of the only ones you can use with a mobile device. So it's something to keep in mind currently. So
I kind of...
And I...
Go ahead.
I believe almost anything with an RGB header can be plugged into that Lumi controller too.
Oh, so you can have mobile control over anything basically you plug
in? Yes. Huh. Yeah, anything that you plug in, yes.
Nice.
So that's kind of, and you can connect up to 6 fans. So this comes with 3. You can connect 3 more. So
not bad. I think it's a good. It's a good price too. I mean, it's the price for a decent set of, like, $20 a fan is basically, that's the price of a decent fan. So
yeah,
so it's really not bad.
Yeah. So I think it's, like I said, it's a good choice if you're looking for this design. I know a lot of people want even more, and we're seeing that from Corsair and some other brands. So. Hopefully their second generation comes around this, probably in the next couple of months. I think they're going to have a second generation fan coming out. And hopefully we'll be able to check that out and tell you guys about that one. But like I said, for the price, I like this and I love the mobile app. I just wish it had more to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So then, Ryan took a look at a network attached storage device from a new company, that we haven't worked with that are breaking into the US called QSAN. And this is their X-Cube NAS XN500-4T. You guys got to make these simpler names. We see that with NASes a lot, actually, just these weird weird names. But this is a 4-bay NAS that you can do a lot with. And this kind of sits on between like the high-end business and enterprise level. So this is not like a... It can be used as a consumer product, but you can do a lot more with this. I would say this is more on the higher end level. This sits at, I believe it's $1,000 just for without drives.
Just for the box.
Yeah, the box itself. So again, this is more enterprise level kind of stuff. But it does have some really cool features, and Ryan really went into this in a lot of detail. But you can kind of set up caching drives, you can update the RAM, so you can, you know, if you're looking for speed, I know a lot of enterprise stuff, you're looking for speed, you can have like an SSD as a cache drive, and then, you know, obviously that data will then be moved over to the NAS as well. So you can do a lot of stuff like that. He said it was extremely easy to set up, and the software worked great.
It's very intuitive.
It's very intuitive. He said it was really easy to set up. You know, the back end is sort of like an operating system almost, mm-hmm. as most are these days.
Yeah.
If it's not, it's kind of feels really dated. But he said it was super easy to set up. You can set up different type of file systems. You can set up like almost like a Dropbox type stuff. You can do a lot with this. But again, it's more on the enterprise level, so it's something you're definitely going to want to think about.
Yeah, the $1,000 out of the door is kind of steep.
It's pretty high.
Yeah.
But again, if you're looking for the certain features that this has, it is pretty good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If that's what you're like you said, if you're really looking at enterprise level solutions, this is not bad at all. But for just somebody trying to build their own, you know, home server essentially, this is probably a little steep.
Yeah, and this is the a lot of the newer NAS solutions in this kind of level are powered by the Intel Celeron, the 2.9 gigahertz. It's a dual core processor, and you have 8 gigabytes of RAM. RAM is updatable, so you can update this up to 32 gigabytes of RAM as well.
Nice.
It's a pretty high end NAS, but you're gonna get a lot of use out of it, mm-hmm. Especially with the caching ability and everything like that. So if you are interested, definitely check out Brian's review. It's one of its longest that he's done. I forget how many words he told me it was. It's a pretty in-depth and it's a pretty long review. So definitely check it out if you're into NAS and you're looking for something that may be on the higher end. This might be something you're going to want to check out for sure.
Nice.
Yes. So... we're talking about other stuff we're doing this week, and we'll get into our typical things that we talk about. But first, we are doing a giveaway. It's not on the website yet, but by the time you're listening to this, which will be Wednesday probably, this giveaway will be live. So we're doing a giveaway with SanDisk, and we're giving away one of their Extreme Portable SSDs. This is the SSD that we reviewed. Super fast, USB 3.1. It's rugged. I believe it's IP... I don't know what IP rating it is, but it's like dust and waterproof as well. It's super fast. I use this thing every day. And we're giving away a 1 terabyte version.
Nice.
So if you're looking for portable storage, definitely get in on this contest. Super easy to enter, like most of our previous contests. We'll have all the information on the website. It will be in the show notes too, so definitely check out the show notes page. I'll have it linked there for you guys. But something obviously to give back to you guys, and it's awesome to work with a company like SanDisk giving away a product that a lot of people can use, not just, you know, like a gamer or something like that. Like, this is something anybody can use.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, pretty excited to give that away for you guys. And since it's close to the beginning of the month, we have our worst PC setups article, which is, of course, where, you know, we go out and find people who have really, really bad PC setups, and we post them on the website. So there is a lot of stuff going on in this week's. We have people moving. We have people who just have really bad computers. We have some 4x3 monitors in there.
Man, if I had a 4x3 monitor, I would probably just go and jump off a bridge.
Yeah, like, we have people who can't fit two monitors on their desk, so they have one on a filing cabinet. We have, for some reason, somebody hung all their hardware from the ceiling, which is actually pretty impressive, I have to say. Like, they hung their
everything
motherboard in the air with the CPU cooler, like with everything connected, with the power supply, and it's all hanging from different strings.
I'm just curious what it's attached to.
Yeah, like what in that motherboard? I mean, that's like a pretty beefy cooler on there. Like, you see some bend, you see some bend in there for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't know why this makes any type of sense, but most of these pictures we find do not make any sense. So definitely check that out. It's a really funny article. It definitely makes you feel better about your PC setup. And it seems like every month we have the setup of somebody using an ironing board as their desk. That's like a thing now, but it seems like every month we get one of those. So definitely check out the article. It's really funny. It makes me feel much better about my PC setup for sure.
It must be the new trash desk solution, you know, the in trend there.
Yeah, I think, I don't know why people are using it, but that's what they're doing. So
I mean, in their defense, it's very table-like, so.
Yes. Talking about tables and desks, we have this week's Case Mod Friday, which is a desk, and I don't think we've done a desk build in a while.
No.
And this one is probably one of the most unique ones I've seen. It's from Josh Lambeth. Hopefully I'm saying his name right. And it is a massive desk that has copper, like real copper pipes for water cooling built into it, with the main CPU or main motherboard on the right side, and on the left side you have big radiators for the water cooling, and the water cooling goes throughout the desk from one side to another. I love the look of it. Very like kind of steampunk industrial.
It's just heavy industrial. Yeah.
Yeah, it's big, it's industrial. He actually, shout out to him for doing like a detailed post, because most of these aren't in a lot of detail. He said that the desk itself is 7 foot wide, 3.5 foot deep, and 33 inches tall. It weighs roughly around 600 pounds.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got heavy I-beam around the entire outside.
Yeah, the there's 87 feet of copper tubing, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
120 copper fittings, all of which needed to be sweated together.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so
sure
not
you this know is, that that's a lot of work.
This is not just your simple slap it together, screw on a compression fitting. This is, you got to weld that stuff in there.
Yeah, and then he also he sprayed the copper piping with a matte clear coat finish to protect it from turning green over time.
Smart, water very going smart. There.
He said to fill the loops, he used a 500 GPH pond pump to force water into the system, so you can have both loops filled and purged of air within 15 minutes.
Nice.
This
guy went very industrial. He must know what he's doing.
I think it's just cool. This guy is he has a video production company, and this is like his work desk.
Okay, I would have actually guessed that he did like heating and cooling, But
yeah.
He's got to have some experience with that, honestly, to do this as well as he did, especially. That or he just really is good at studying and learning things, because this is extensive.
Yeah, I think it is just a great build, something different. I love seeing stuff that's different. And I really like you said, like that I-beam. I assume that's steel I-beam.
Yeah.
That runs the copper tubing, and how the copper tubing's shown. It's completely different, and we don't often see builds like this, so it's awesome.
This goes beyond your average desk build. Like, it's just massive. The only thing I would ding it on is how exposed all the parts are in the legs. They're not really contained at all. The motherboard and everything is built upright like a normal PC would be. It's probably just got some sort of a back chassis in there. But I think I would have liked to see some sort of like glass paneling to actually seal that in there.
Yeah, that would finish it off quite nicely. Yeah. But in any case, I think it's great.
Oh, it's still fantastic.
Definitely check this one out, guys. It gives you one like motivation to do this. Two, it just shows you that, you know, we've seen so many similar builds lately, and this one is completely different. Yeah. So
there's still new stuff.
And it's so cool to see copper tubing going into a pump, like in the one photo. It's completely different than what we're used to.
Yeah. I actually have a friend that did copper tubing, but not quite like this. Cause you can do copper tubing, and you can do it with compression fittings still. It's not the off the shelf water cooling parts that we're used to. It's still industrial water or industrial pipe fittings, but it is compression, so you don't have to actually weld all this together. Like, seriously, the time that went into all of this, all of the welding, is pretty incredible.
Yeah, he said it took him about 6 months to build it.
Yeah.
Very, very impressive. And he has RGB lighting under the desk as well.
Yeah, obviously.
You gotta have that.
Yeah.
So definitely check that one out, guys. Really, really cool. And if you're not into this desk, we have a full section of builds for Case Mod Friday going back at least 3 years. So a lot of stuff in there for you guys to check out for sure. So that brings us to our news this week. And as I said, guys, we don't have a whole lot just because we have 2 days of news and it's not a ton, but I promise you guys next week we'll have a full lineup of news. We'll go through a few different things. First off is that the Gigabyte X399 Aorus Extreme motherboard is the first motherboard to list support for the upcoming AMD Ryzen Threadripper 32-core processor. That is the Threadripper 2990 or 2990X. The big requirement with this is for these higher end processors is the TDP that it's going to support. Mm-hmm. So these will support up to a 250 watt TDP through the power delivery components. So I think that if you're going to be running any of the second gen Threadripper parts, I think probably anything over 18 core. Or 16 maybe, you'll need one of the newer, like the second gen boards. This board was shown off at Computex and then again at another Gigabyte event. It looks sick.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's just a big board, lots of M.2s. There's 3 M.2s on it, and I believe it comes with a riser that gives you 4 more.
Nice.
It has everything.
And a classy use of RGBs, if I might say.
Yeah, there's a...
They're not over the top.
Well, they're not on, I don't think, completely. I think there's more than what you're seeing.
Okay. Maybe it is over the top still.
Yeah, it's an Aorus board, so it's probably over the top. But, so when these new boards come out, you'll see a lot of them being specifically made for the higher end, the 24, 28, 32-core Threadripper parts, so... this is the first one to support it, so it's pretty exciting. It means we're getting closer to that Threadripper 2, you know, official launch and stuff. So exciting stuff there.
Definitely
awesome. I love big boards like that too.
Oh yeah, EATX, of course.
Yes. So starting or talking about, high end parts. It looks like Intel is going to end or kill off their Extreme Edition branding. Extreme Edition, of course, over the years has been kind of set aside for their flagship products in mostly processors for the most part, but we saw it on their Skull Canyon NUC as well. We saw that branding. And, you know, with Intel coming out with a 28-core processor on the new platform, and then also 20 and 22-core processors on the LG A2066 platform, having an Extreme on the older platform, and even the current, you know, if you're going to have a 22-core LG A2066 that's called Extreme, then you have a 28-core. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, and I'm not sure what this means for the NUCs that were called Extreme. But it's kind of, I don't know. I just like, I always like the Extreme. It's like the highest end, you know. You knew that the Extreme product was like the highest end product at that time.
That's true, but I also feel like we're a good ways beyond the use of that word.
Yes, I agree. I mean, currently the only product that really uses it is the Core i9-7980XE. That's the 18-core. Yeah. That's the only product that uses that in their CPU line, and then the Skull Canyon NUC is the only product that uses it for that. So, yeah, I think we are kind of in with like the cycle of how fast things are going with core counts and all that kind of stuff. It kind of, yeah, you call something Extreme and then 6 months later there's something better. Like, you know what I mean?
6 months, man, by the end of next week.
Yeah, it's really fast. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just like, you kind of remember the iconic Extreme Edition processors and you just, I don't know.
I remember the first ones. I remember it being really cool when the first ones came out. It was really exciting to see. And it was cool branding because you knew that that was the epitome, but those products lasted a lot longer before being replaced, so.
Yeah, yeah. I think, again, this has a lot to do with AMD kind of pushing the envelope.
Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with just general rebranding, though. Intel has kind of worked with a lot of the same stuff for a little while, so no reason not to make things feel new.
Yeah, so you know, if you have a Extreme Edition box or something like that, you might want to keep it.
Yeah,
because if you know,
stuff turns into keepsakes pretty quick. Yeah,
keepsakes, collector's items. So definitely keep that in mind. Talking about AMD and graphics cards, we know they're pretty much crushing it when it comes to CPU stuff, but it looks like, at least according to a pretty recent roadmap from ASRock, who just entered the AMD graphics card market with their Phantom gaming cards. According to this roadmap, there will be no new AMD graphics cards until February of 2019, which I feel makes sense. AMD is kind of stagnant right now. And I don't think with everybody leaving and all that kind of stuff, that they're ready for a launch, especially like the launch would be end of summer for holiday or CES, which I don't think they'll be ready. I think maybe something might be shown at CES and it will come out later. CES
wouldn't be a bad time based on, you know, the current market. I just don't think that I don't think it'd be wise, because we do feel that NVIDIA, you know, is soon to release a new part, and it would just be, I feel like it'd just be once again them releasing a part only to have it like stomped down immediately. They can't really, I don't think they can afford to have that happen again.
And I think that, in all honesty, I know they can't do it because they have to stay afloat somehow. But, you know, like what they did with Ryzen was like build something from the ground up for 4 years.
Yeah, reimagine it, please.
And like, I mean, it's paying off now. You can see with Ryzen and Threadripper and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine what kind of shape AMD would be in without having Ryzen happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it'd be interesting to see the difference in the CPU and GPU divisions of
I mean, perhaps they'd have a greater focus on GPU right now still, if it weren't for Ryzen.
Yeah, that's very true.
Because they kind of did do Fury first, you know, before they did Ryzen. in a way, if you if you take a step back. So maybe they've tried it and they're not willing to try it again, at least this soon.
Yeah, not sure. I mean, again, this roadmap could just not show the new cars because you know, being a brand new AMD partner, you wouldn't want to release that information either.
No, or they're not even going to be releasing those cards. Who knows?
Yeah, so who knows? But this, you never know. But I honestly, I think it makes sense. I think that GPU in general is stagnant. We've heard NVIDIA's launching something, but then we've heard that they're not because of market demand, things like that. And there's a million GPUs laying around.
Yeah, oversaturation.
So we don't know. It's kind of a waiting game for both sides, but I think that the longer AMD waits and if they actually don't, I always feel that AMD rushes their stuff out, you know?
I do, but I feel like, I feel that they do it because they have to get it out before it's obsolete at launch.
Yeah. I just think they need a good year off at least.
give it two. They can have two years. I don't mind.
Yeah, if they take 2 years off and just completely redesign from the ground up, like they did with Ryzen and all that, I think we would have more competition. But I don't see that happening just for the fact that, like, I just don't think they can do it. But
at this point, what would it hurt if they took it off?
I mean, they're still making a lot of money off their graphics cards. I mean, their graphics cards do perform best in mining, and that's a huge industry.
Yeah, but they don't need new ones for that to happen, right?
I mean, if NVIDIA comes out with something,
I guess you're right.
So it's like a hard thing. It's like, okay, so do we take a year or 2 years off and lose all of this market? And it's a market share too. Like, you have an AMD guy who's always been AMD. If a car doesn't come out from AMD in 2 years, a year and a half, they're gonna be like, okay, well, this new NVIDIA card came out. Yeah. I want to be able to play my games.
They've moved on. Yeah.
And then they move over to the other side, and then they're like, oh, well, this is really great. I didn't know how great this was.
It's true. You know? It's true, but I feel like they'll come back. The Red fans are super loyal.
This is very true. Yeah. But we'll see. Again, this could just not show new cards either, just, you know, with that. But I suspect this is pretty true based on everything that I've heard and how AMD is doing in the GPU segment. Anyways, so
logically delay makes sense.
Yes. So moving on from that to memory, there is a huge thing going on in China, where Chinese companies are stealing intellectual property from Samsung and SK Hynix to create their own memory. And you know, to build memory chips and all that kind of stuff, you need certain intellectual property to do so, patents and things like that. And if you don't have it, you can license it from both of these companies. It costs to do that. Yeah. And these Chinese companies, they don't.
Well, they're doing what Chinese companies,
Yeah, and they're
it's not really a stereotype when that's what they do. They steal IP.
Yeah. So that's what they're doing. And it looks like, the IP that they're stealing, of course, infringes on Samsung and SK Hynix patents. Mm-hmm. But it looks like the Chinese courts are very corrupt, and it's kind of a not working in Samsung or SK Hynix's favor, which is surprise.
Yeah, me. It kind of adds. There's another layer to this in that we had praised not too long ago, you know, Samsung, SK Hynix, and who else was it? One other company.
Micron.
Yeah, Micron. For getting investigated for price fixing. And we were all for that. We're like, yeah, we're getting destroyed here. But it looks like that might actually have been like a feint by the Chinese government to kind of cover this up somewhat. So and kind of like push them down a bit. So it's very interesting. But we do know, I mean, the Chinese government is known to steal U.S. military blueprints and stuff. Like, it's just all, known.
And this is all happening at the same time that there could be a big trade war between the United States and China.
Yeah. I think we're seeing a lot of things where China is trying to, especially in computing, they're trying to pull back and they're trying to be dependent almost entirely on stuff from their own within their own country.
Yeah.
I mean, they've gone as far as to, it's not that far, I guess, but they've written their own operating systems. They've moved away from using Windows.
Yep.
So...
So this is really interesting. We have a link to the article in Korea Times that you definitely want to read. It's just crazy that this stuff is going on, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, DRAM is one of the biggest markets. If you think everything has DRAM in it.
Absolutely. Everything. Yeah.
Literally everything.
You cannot get rid of that dependency without having your own DRAM.
Yeah. So it's a massive market. So obviously these Chinese companies want, I assume their products would be cheaper.
Yeah.
especially, yeah. you know, selling in their own country, which is a massive country. They want some of that market. It's definitely a story that we're going to follow because it seems to be very interesting with all the corruption and everything too. So,
yeah. And then I assume this is going to lead to us needing to pay attention to what we're buying because of where the DRAM is sourced from potentially in the product that you're purchasing. If they continue with this, because there'll end up being a high chance that you've got some less than quality product in what you're using.
For sure. So, we'll move on from that and we'll go to something a little bit, happier.
Yes. What do you mean a little bit? This is fantastic. We're talking about Battlefield 5.
Yeah, Battlefield 5 Closed Alpha is going on right now, and people with access to the game have been releasing benchmarks, and we've seen them from a few different outlets. First is from PC Games Network, and very interesting is that their graphs in 1080p and 1440p are showing a RX 580 beating a 1060 6GB in both resolutions. To give you an idea, they're using ultra settings on this. Mm-hmm. So in 1080p, RX 580, right around 68 FPS mm-hmm. in 1080p on a 580.
No, they are on a Ryzen system, though.
Yeah, that's something to keep in mind.
Yes.
And then on a on 1440p, you're looking at between 47 and 49 FPS. In 1440p.
Yeah. Not only are they winning in the average frames per second, but they're also winning in the minimum frames per second. So they're not dipping as low either.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, we have results from Hardware Lux and Sweet Clockers. And these show the GTX 1080 Ti winning.
Hmm.
So Hardware Lux shows the GTX 1080 Ti beating the RX Vega 64, which of course is its main competitor,
mm-hmm.
At 4K in ultra settings. You're looking at an average of 52 FPS compared to 40 FPS on the Radeon 64.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They, however, do not list the full system specs here, or at least we don't have them here. So.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see if it's some other part of the system that's holding back the NVIDIA card.
And interesting enough is that in 1080 resolution, GTX 1080 Ti, 116 frames per second. In the GTX 1080, 103 frames per second.
Yeah.
And the Radeon RX Vega 64, 102 frames per second. So you can see it distinctly by the GTX 1080 Ti, which should be expected in pretty much all games for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff from Sweet Clockers pretty much shows the same thing. At 4K, the 1080 Ti is beating the Radeon RX Vega.
Interesting. Very interesting. Also,
it gives you an idea. One thing I like about these is it gives you an idea if you're you know, this is a game you want to play and you're looking to build a new system.
Obviously, this is a game everyone wants to play.
Yeah. Are you going to get it and play it?
Oh, absolutely.
This will give you an idea of what card you might want to get if you're building a new PC or going to upgrade for this new game, what have you.
Yeah, it's a good idea of whether your hardware is going to be good enough or not, which it looks like my 970 is going to struggle a bit at 4K.
Yep.
Yikes.
These are at Ultra. You can turn the settings down.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you got to have those Ultra settings.
Exactly.
It is an alpha. It is an alpha, though, so...
Yes.
There will be improvements. And one difference that we could be looking at between the two different tests just could be different builds of the alpha. We don't know what stage it was. So.
Yeah, that is also very true. And, you know, when these games come out, there's usually a driver update for optimization for that game, typically, when the game comes out. So. We'll probably see that from both NVIDIA and AMD.
Hopefully.
Yes, for sure. So our last little piece of news is that today, actually, Cooler Master announced a new mouse. This is their CM310, and I really like it because it's ambidextrous, and we don't see that many of those. Mm-hmm. I don't know who uses their left hand for their mouse. Not many people that I know.
Not many people have the choice, though, even left-handed folks. They just have had to learn to use the right.
So that's one thing I like about this is that it's ambidextrous, meaning it's the same on both sides, which is nice. Two is that the price of this is $30. And it still comes with a 5,000 an optical 5,000 DPI optical sensor. It has a decent amount of buttons. It looks like a good mouse for that price. And it has RGB lighting.
A lot of it.
Yeah. I would have to use it, but I think that based on the specs, I think that's what they were trying to do, was trying to put out a mouse for everybody that has, you know, it looks cool, and it serves a purpose. It's a functional mouse at the same time. So
yeah.
I
think the only question I would have is build quality at that price.
Yes.
You always got to question build quality.
Yes, for sure. And it does look like it. I can't tell from the photos. Kind of can tell is that we're looking at a rubber USB cable. It's not braided.
Yeah, so yeah.
That's one of those quality things that you know you can spot right away. But for $30, RGB mouse, 5,000 DPI, their software is amazing now for their stuff. So that's a plus too. And you can control the RGBs from the software, I believe. So
nice.
So yeah. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week as far as reviews. And we have the BioStar Racing B360 GTS3. That's such a long name. So this is their micro ATX motherboard for the B360 chipset. In that review, I'll be going over the differences between the chipsets because a lot of people don't know the differences. And what you kind of sacrifice and what you don't. And when it comes to performance, how this performs against, say, a Z370 board, which is in the same Coffee Lake, you know, Coffee Lake processors. Because we ran an 8700K on this, so you can still do that, you know. So this might be a cheaper alternative if you're looking to save money on your motherboard and you don't need some of the extras that the Z370 chipset has.
Yep.
Most
people really don't.
Yeah, a lot of people really don't. Especially, you know, you're doing a single graphics card, you're doing one M.2. Uh-huh. You know, you don't... I mean, this actually has RGB lighting, so...
Yeah.
But if you don't need a ton of RGBs, you know, if you're not overclocking your CPU, because B360, you don't get CPU or memory overclocking.
Right.
So if you're not doing any of that, which a lot of people aren't these
days. A lot
of
people don't even touch it,
Yeah, so this could be the thing. And it we talked about it before, but this is our first time looking at a BioStar board. So we're going to be going over the BIOS and how it feels and all that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Cool.
I will also be checking out the ASIO Retro Classic Elwood keyboard. Now, this is the new Bluetooth version of the keyboard. Supports both Windows and Mac. this thing, I thought the first one I reviewed was beautiful. The I don't know what that one was called, the actual design, but this one is so beautiful. They redesigned the LEDs too on the board, so they just look amazing. It's wireless, so again, if you're using this, which I feel a lot of people buying this are using this in like a design studio or something for people, more or less for people to look at. It's going to look great, and you don't want wires, so it's like, again, it's Bluetooth. It's really cool. It comes with two different sets of keycaps, one for Windows, one for Mac, which is nice. And there's a little button on the back. You select between Windows and Mac. Just does it. It's a beautiful keyboard. It's something that I believe this is $219.99, so it's not cheap. But it's real wood. It's real metal.
Yeah. It's artisan.
It's an artisan keyboard for sure.
Yeah.
So definitely stay tuned for that review. And I'll be looking at a new laptop from Lenovo. It's their ThinkPad X1 Yoga. This is their third generation, so not a whole lot different design compared to the previous generation as far as design goes. But you do get, I believe the previous one only had a single Thunderbolt 3. This has dual with the charging being Thunderbolt 2.
Hmm.
And the third gen has your eighth gen Intel processors in it too. So this is basically a ThinkPad. So all of the ThinkPad features that you would want with the Yoga design. So you can flip the screen all the way around, which is nice.
Yes.
You know,
sometimes very useful.
But it is a ThinkPad. It has all those great features that ThinkPad lovers like, and all those protection features and all that kind of stuff. So we got the version. It just has the normal 1080p screen, which is fine for a lot of people. But they do offer it in 1440p and a 4K screen if you're looking for something more than that. But yeah, definitely stay tuned for all that. Some, you know, three really different products that we'll be checking out next week. So that brings us to the end here. And we talk about if we did any cool techie stuff, you know, in the past, I guess we'll say 2 weeks. Saw any movies? Did any nerdy things?
Any nerd stuff? Well, I got another smartwatch, which I'm trying not to lose this time. I guess it's a fitness one. I got the Garmin. I don't even know what it's called.
Garmin. I didn't know Garmin still made products.
Oh yeah, it's a Vivo Sport. I've actually got multiple Garmin products. They're quite active in the fitness category.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. I think they had to move away because I mean everybody knew Garmin for GPS.
Yeah, for their on dash, hook up on your windshield.
Yes.
GPS, yeah. Then they became terrible, I felt.
Well, I think just the phone, everybody had it on their phone. And
yeah, but I feel like their map system didn't even work as well as my phone, let alone was it more inconvenient. But
yeah.
I just think that Google is really good. That's all.
So what does this smartwatch do?
Heart rate. And like activity tracking, sleep tracking.
That's one thing that I had one of those that did sleep tracking, which was nice because you could see if you were like rolling around and all that kind of stuff.
See, why am I so tired? Oh, that's why I only got I had like 7 hours of light sleep. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, does it track like your REM and sleep cycles or whatever? Yeah, that's good. I think that's one of the things that I miss about having one of those is like to be able to track that stuff because some days you are incredibly tired.
Yep.
And so
It's done pretty good so far. I'm pretty impressed with it. The battery life on it is like 4 or 5 days.
Oh wow.
So but I'm not getting messaging on it. So that might be part of that. Just because it's the one downside is within the app you can't choose what you want to get alerts from, so you just get every single alert for every single message you get, and that was very quickly too much when some of the chats go off.
Yeah, like chat, email,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, that's cool. I didn't get any new goodies.
No.
IKEA makes this thing. I forget what it's called. I'll put it in the show notes when I find it. It's $12.99. It goes under your desk and it hides all your cables, right?
Oh.
Just for a reference for you guys, don't ever try to install this by yourself because it's almost impossible. it was like one of the hardest things I ever had to install by myself on a bottom of a desk. So just give you guys that warning. That's like the only thing I did. And we moved the website. That was the big project, which I'm really happy with. I think
that was a good thing.
I think
kind of took you out of it for a minute, but
yeah, well, like I said, we had I can't do a million things at once, but it was it was good to get everything moved over. This new company, a new hosting company, is really great. It's all positive feedback and definitely loading much faster. They do things a lot different than the previous company. And it seems like it's going to work out pretty well. So we'll keep you guys updated. But definitely let us know if you notice any speed or anything like that on the site. If it loads fast, if it loads slow, any issues. But everything should be good.
Nice.
So again, definitely stay tuned for our giveaway, which we'll have linked in these show notes too. So that's going to be announced tomorrow. So definitely stay tuned for that. Pretty excited to get that one rolling. So that, brings us to the end of the podcast. Again, sorry guys, it was so short. We'll have a longer one next week. And like I just said, check out the show notes. That has everything that we talked about. And if you're looking for us on any social media, it is just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.